Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's see what's happening in the Holy Land. And to do that, we're going to be speaking to Gillian Resnick.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And I'm actually, the truth is, I'm not going to be reporting from the Holy Land. I'll be reporting about the Holy Land because I'm actually in Morocco with a group of American and Canadian Jews.
Oh, amazing. Okay, so firstly, that was my mispronunciation. It is Gillian Resnick. It is not Gillian Resnick, which I'm sure you're very relieved to hear.
It is Gillian Resnick.
Yes. Okay, so what are you doing in Morocco?
So I, one of the things that I do is that I tell the Jewish story around the world. I take people around the world and talk about the Jewish story, but always in the context of the big stories of the society within which the Jewish story takes place. I do it in South Africa. Well, did before Corona. I'm going to return at the beginning of 23 with a group. I do it in Morocco. I do it throughout Europe. And, of course, I do it big time in Israel.
Amazing. All right, so tell us what's happening in Israel.
So I was asked to choose four things, and I'm going to choose, these are the four I'm going to choose, and I will apologize that I can't be much longer than the time that was allotted. So I'm going to be an unusual correspondent. I'm going to have, I'm going to leave after 10 minutes.
No problem.
I'm going to talk forever. So the first thing, the really big news is, of course, our coalition is falling to pieces. It is, we've lived through now about 5 years of incredible political instability, which is quite, which deals with existential questions all the time. And the present coalition led by Naftali Bennett seems to be imploding day after day. Different members of his coalition are announcing their departure, both from the left and both from the right. And it looks as though we're heading towards another round of elections, which, of course, is not something that many of us want. Independent of our the notion of another round of political instability and the awful bickering that comes up around elections, that's I don't think most of us want it, but that looks as though it's about to happen. So that's the big political news in Israel.
Gillian, why
so
do
that
you
would be the first item in my agenda.
Okay, so why do you think so many members are leaving the coalition?
It's a fragile coalition. It's actually, I think, quite an extraordinary attempt to bring together an incredible variety of voices into one ruling coalition. I personally am very happy with the fact that we have a variety of voices in the coalition, because Israel is such an incredibly diverse country that I ultimately believe we can only govern ourselves if we are prepared to constantly make certain compromises. You know, Amos Oz, the famous Israeli author, once wrote that compromise is the most undervalued value of the 20th century. And I really think he had something there. You know, people are great at taking strong ideological stands, but they forget that there are people who disagree with them, and they also have to have a voice in putting together the way a society is run. So the incredible diversity of the coalition, whenever a major issue arises, puts a tremendous strain on the coalition, and that's what we're going through.
I think part of it, and I have thought about this a lot, is possibly that if Israel had a constitution, that would help define the parameters in which civil society can operate. What's your thought on that?
So, you know, the truth is, I'm with you on wishing we had a constitution, but I'm a realist. There is no way we are going to have a constitution, you know, within the foreseeable future, because we are such a diverse and fractured society in so many ways that one of the big issues in putting together even the Declaration of Independence was whether the word God should appear in the declaration, and it doesn't. And a huge amount of thought went into how, you know, what would be the alternative phrase. And the alternative phrase that was used was Tzur Yisrael, the Rock of Israel, which is one of the names of God, but it is vague enough to enable, you know, at the time, other people to sign on it who were devout humanists or secular people. So everything in Israel is a huge debate. I like that fact, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I love living in a society in which everything is a big debate and a big philosophical question, but it has its price. And the price is sometimes a big one. But I would not swap it for a society which tries to, you know, close down the public debate.
It's so interesting because this really comes down to the identity of Israel. You know, is Israel a state for Jews or is it a Jewish state? If it's a state for Jews, if we're trying to be everything to everyone.
So I think that Israel, you know, we have no choice in Israel but to be both a Jewish state and a democratic state. And it is that tension sometimes which actually makes things very complex. And, you know, if you even go to one of the previous crises around Pesach was whether chametz could be allowed into the hospitals or not. And it sounds almost like an absurd issue to potentially bring down a government, but it really goes to the core of this question. How does one put together a state which is both democratic and Jewish? And it's not an easy answer, but you know, I moved to Israel to live in a free, open, democratic society as opposed to the South Africa that I left in the 1970s. Yeah. And at the same time, I moved to Israel because I wanted to live in this wonderful Jewish experiment. So there's a price sometimes, a price tag that comes with these things.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I'm going to ask, and this is a question for our listeners. How do you see Israel? Do you see it as a state for Jews, which would be a democratic state, or do you see it as a Jewish state? And I say as a Jewish state because Judaism in and of itself is not democratic. They are not the Ten Commandments, they're not the Ten Suggestions. I'd really like to know your thoughts, 34519, and there are no right answers here. I just want to have the conversation with you. I'm speaking to Julian Resnick. He's an Israel correspondent, and thank you so much once again, Julian. Can we talk about Lag BaOmer and the turn to Meron?
Yes, yeah, so you know, once again, it almost, you know, this number two asked to come forward. Really, your question was a perfect one to introduce the next topic, because the return to Meron this year has been a very fraught one, a very difficult one, because on the one hand, you have a community, a large community in Israel, for whom the celebrations at Lag BaOmer are significant. They make a big difference in their lives. At the same time, the responsibility of the government, of those people who have the responsibility for ruling us, is also for the safety of the public. And when they made decisions, as were made after the terrible, awful disaster last year, to limit entry, to run it in a different way, it was met by incredible anger and frustration on behalf of those for whom Lag BaOmer is and visiting Meron is a religious pilgrimage,
right.
And there've been awful scenes there, of the police have been, you know, being confronted by very angry ultra-Orthodox Jews, who have actually, you know, behaved very viciously and aggressively towards the police. And then how do you police that? How do you, how do you enable Jewish people to have their way of celebrating, but at the same time, make it clear, folks, this is a country with rules. There's been a commission of inquiry. There's been the government has decided how to run this, using the police as the obvious tool for running an event like this. So how do you do the two together? And that goes to the heart of how does one enable people to live freely as Jews and at the same time to run a country? And the statements coming out Orthodox community, some of it, not all of it, of course, around Meron have been, for me personally, disturbing.
Yeah.
At the same time, I understand the incredibly powerful need they have to be there and celebrate in the way that they want to. So it's that ongoing dilemma. How do you police yourselves? It's not like any other country where Jewish live, in which we can turn around and say, look how the police treated the Jews. That's so unfair. Over here, we have to say, this is how we decide to treat ourselves. And that makes it so difficult.
Yeah, look how the Jews are treating the Jews. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah?
All right, we've got 2 minutes. Can we end on a good on a positive story, Julian. Some good news about the new Supreme Court justice and help for Syrian refugees.
Okay, so there was a third issue, but we'll leave that for another time. But I did want to end up with a good news story because, you know, the issue with news and with respect to people who deal with news, of course, is that good news doesn't sell. Good news doesn't make it onto the front pages of anything. So just too quickly in the minute and a half that I have, I did end by saying that we have for the first time a Muslim Supreme Court justice. We've had a Christian Arab Supreme Court justice before, but it's the first time that there is a Muslim Supreme Court justice, and I love that. For me, you know, that once again goes to the heart of how does one in the Jewish state create a system of a legal system in which there is not only representation for everyone, in my opinion, as it should be, but also there is the power sometimes in the hands of those people who are not part of the Jewish majority to make really important decisions. And we now have the first Muslim Supreme Court justice. The second good news story is Israel, as you know, is a hub of innovation, and one of our companies is a company, Mortigen, which basically takes humidity out of the air and turns the humidity into water using huge machines to do this, which use very little power, by the way. So they actually are realistic to be used in places where there's not much access to electricity. And about 9 of these and recently sold to an American Syrian refugees stuck.
Julian, the line is really, really deteriorated. We're only getting every third word. So it has gone 8 o'clock. I know that you said you've got 10 minutes, and we're just going to wish you a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much. We're not going to try and get you back to fix up the line because both of us are out of time. So thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom, and thanks for the time, and thanks for giving us the insights. That's Julian Resnick, Israel correspondent today.